From Dog Works Training Centers, professional canine training centers in Denver, Colorado, and Anchorage, Alaska. This is Dog Works Radio, committed to families and their dogs to build lifelong and fulfilling relationships. Visit our website at dogworksradio.com. Dog Works Radio is part of Twine Group Media and syndicated worldwide on blogtalkradio.com. Now, here are your hosts, Robert and Michelle Forto.
Hello and welcome, everybody. It is Sunday, February 26, 2012, and it is a sunny, actually very wintry day in munching capital of the world, Willow, Alaska. Michelle, how's it going?
You know, I think when it's snowing, that is your sunny day. So we've been getting snow since late in the evening yesterday. I think we've gotten another 3 inches on top of the 4 to 6 feet we have out in the yard.
Well, you know, the little wolf wind chime, what do they call those? Wind vane, weather vane.
It's a weather vane.
Weather vane is fully covered up now. He's got a little blanket on top of him. So I think that means that winter isn't done yet up here in Willow.
No, but we can't believe Puscatawny Phil from Philadelphia. He's just too far away.
You know, it is not over for winter. This week is the Iditarod Circus. It starts pretty much tomorrow afternoon, and the start of the race starts next Saturday, the ceremonial start, and then the restart on Sunday. I'll be covering the Iditarod every day starting next Wednesday night on our brand new show on our Real Radio channel on Mushing Radio.
Yes, I'm excited about Mushing Radio, and you know, this is something that you've been developing for quite some time, and it's always good to be able to broadcast out there in a free forum. You know, thankfully, there's still those forums out there.
It is, and it's going to be a little interesting being on Real Radio, and I say Real Radio because here on a podcast, we can do just about anything we want. We do have some technical difficulties here and there. We just had one at our 9 a.m. show, 9 a.m. Alaska time with our guest. We couldn't quite get the call in. We used Skype, so when we're on a Real Radio station, we have, you know, the big fancy equipment and the transmitter with the big signal antenna and all that, so I'm looking forward to that. It'll be a little bit different. We can't say whatever we want on there. We can't promote ourselves like we do here, and we cannot sell anything without a commercial, so that'll be a little interesting, too.
Oh, yeah, because we're all about self-promotion, you know, because we're so full of ourselves. So...
So today we have a special guest on. We tried to get her on about a month or so ago. Some mix-ups that happens occasionally, about one in every 100 shows, but we have her on the air now. Her name is Kristen Elliott, and she is the owner of a company called Duty Pack, and I'm going to let her introduce herself right now. Kristen, how are you?
I am very well. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
What, you know, I have to laugh because I look out the window. We have no snow, and this has been the winter that hasn't been. I think we've had less than a foot of snow all winter, and I'm on the, you know, near Buffalo, which is known for its snow, and it's like we're envious now that you've got so much up there.
Well, we probably have 5 or 6 feet on the ground here in Willow, and it keeps falling. You know, every day we're mushers, so we love the snow. But I think the people of Alaska are a little tired of it. You know, I'm sure you've heard about the folks in Cordova. They've gotten national levels of snow up there. We're record-breaking, like 15 or 20 feet. Can you imagine having 20 feet of snow in your front yard?
Can you send some our way?
it's
really,
a little...
Just no sweating, no skiing. We're missing it.
It's a little hard to imagine 20 feet when, you know, I walk out my front door and my son has dug out a path to my car and I'm 5 feet tall and I can't see over the snowbank. So, you know, that's difficult to fathom in itself because this is my first winter in Alaska being from Denver and I'm used to complaining about 6 or 7 inches of snow, you know, complain, dang the snow, but in Denver it melts like the next day. And
right.
People don't understand that about Denver, but the snow in Denver doesn't stay around very long. Up here in Alaska, it's here. I don't even know if it's going to be gone by my birthday in May.
It's like a snow maze. You know, you can't look over the edge.
That's exactly right. So today we're going to talk about your company called Duty Pack. And I think that's a pretty interesting company. We've had some interesting products on our show. We had one product on there. It was pretty unique. Tell us about that, Michelle. The thing.
The risque one?
Yes.
Oh, goodness. We had a product on. I can't recall the name of it, but that's when I was still broadcasting via phone, Skype, like Kristen is today from Denver, and you were here. And, you know, really innovative gentleman, great guest. He was good to talk to. But he designed basically a feminine napkin for dogs. And, you know, it was just one of those shows where Robert was outside of his realm. He doesn't like to talk about those things as it is for people, let alone for a dog. So when he told me we were doing Duty Pack today, I said, is it one of those shows? And he said, no, this is different. And so I'm really interested, Kristen, in learning about what Duty Packs are.
Well, Duty Pack, it's really very funny because most people think that when you say Duty Pack, it's spelled D-U-T-Y, as in a utility backpack, which in fact is what I designed. It's a utility backpack for dogs. But the original spelling and the intent, it's a duty, as in doggy duty, because out of necessity came an invention that really was quite selfish. We actually, around our own home, have quite a bit of acreage. So it's not until I take our dogs out that I realize how much I really, really despise carrying the doggy waste bag on a walk. We have a beautiful trail system in our town. We've got the historic Erie Canal, which runs through upstate New York, and they have trails and walking and hiking all along the sides of it, and yet they request that you pick up your dog's waste on your walk, and that's, you know, something that became rather unpleasant. And I was noticing how much care people take in themselves, and then they have to swing this bag around. So I thought, you know, with all of the water bottles and the keys and the cell phones and all the things that you need to carry on a day hike or just an outing, I decided to play around with building a saddle pack for dogs. Now, typically the dogs that I'm seeing that are most, you know, troublesome with that big bag are these, you know, big labs and newfies and so forth. But we decided to build this dog backpack to give a dog a job. You know, it's like everyone's like, why shouldn't they carry their own waste? They made it, you know. So I am pretty crafty and creative and started out just building one for myself out of heavy duck claw type material. Has a buckle in the front that clips, and then a double buckle strapping under the belly, and they're all adjustable. And I made one for myself, then I started making some for friends, and they're like, you know, you're onto something. And I'm like, no, I'm not. Nobody's going to want these. And they're like, no, really. And then I started not being able to keep up with the requests, and I started to get very serious about it. And so we decided to apply for some patents, which we just received last week, officially in hand, and we are going into our fourth year of business of having dogs from 8 to 200 pounds carry their own stuff. It's great. It is really a lot of fun.
Well, Kristen, congratulations. You know, I think that you were onto something, and you will continue to be onto something. I mean, this is a fabulous idea. As a dog trainer, I know several dog walkers out there that do pick up duty along the way, and they are carrying it in their own backpack, you know. So this is an awesome idea because it not only does it enhance giving the dog a job, but some of these packs also help give a calming effect. Now, I know you've heard about the T-shirts and the calming vests and things
Absolutely.
Like that, but your duty pack mimics a service dog vest almost identical, and that is very cool because I know what happens when dogs wear a vest. It just, for whatever reason, they stand a little taller and they're a little bit prouder.
You got it, exactly.
You know,
I was just about to say that. There's just something about when I put my own dogs into the pack, which we can monogram, and we are very proud of the fact that working with all the rescue groups and service groups, we're able to monogram and put corporate logos on them.
Mm-hmm.
So we work with a lot of rescue groups and having like their ASPCA group or even your dog's name embroidered right on the pack. And what we found is that my own dogs know they're kind of going to work, when we put the pack on, their tails are wagging all over the place. They can't stand themselves. They're like, oh, my gosh, I'm putting on my pack. And I'm not kidding you. They kind of turn their head like, aren't you going to tell me how beautiful I look? And they really, their demeanor is so very different. And I have, you know, one dog that gets a little bit nervous in crowds. And so when we put the pack on, she's much more comfortable. And so without realizing it in my original intent, which really was, again, quite selfish because I didn't want to carry that horrible duty bag, it's turned into a training vest. We have several trainers who use it in terms of, because there are pockets on both sides. For example, if a dog jumps, what they'll do is they weight it asymmetrically so the dog goes off balance and it helps to get them to stop jumping. And if you have dogs that are a little bit overweight, you can put a little bit of weight in the pack, up to about 20% of their body weight. So now we're getting into the whole health and wellness. You know, I love the fact that it changes the relationship you have with your dog, because now they're happier, they're mild-mannered, they're not pulling. More often than not, people who have dogs that are pulling put the pack on and they're like, my gosh, my dog doesn't pull me anymore. And it's remarkable, without my having been trained, you know, in dog behavior, that this pack has turned into something that is usable by so many different people.
So, Kristen, let's talk a little bit about the construction or how the pack is set up. You mentioned that you can also carry around your keys or your water bottle and all that, but I'm sure people are thinking, I don't know if I quite want my keys or water bottle in the same compartment as the duty bag. How is your bag designed?
Well, let me start with kind of giving you a visual impression. If you were to open the pack up and lay it flat on the table, it's a rectangle. And down the center of the rectangle, there's a handle made of the same strapping as the belly strap. So if you were to lift it up from the handle, it drops down on both sides, and that handle will go along the back of the dog, along his spine. So now you have a saddle pack with a large, solid Cordura nylon pocket on one side and then a split mesh pocket on the other. So your supplies, as we call them, or your essentials, are going to be stowed on the inside of, in the webbing part of the webbing pocket. And we made a little bit of an owner convenience by adding in a key hook, so you can actually hook your keys onto a key hook that's sewn right into the pack. So you put your empty waste bags and your cell phone and your water bottle and your keys on the inside pocket. The outside pocket, which all of the pockets have Velcro, so nothing comes popping out. And that's where you're going to stow your stinky bags, you know, the ones that are used. And it's amazing. We do encourage you to empty the pack when you get home. You know, you put it into a disposal site. You don't leave it in the pack. So, but the packs can be washed. But what's really great is every pack comes with a perimeter of reflective tape. So it's a 3M brand reflective tape, much like some of the large backpack companies. They trim out their backpacks for kids' safety. Well, we did the same thing. So now the pack becomes a safety device. So if you're walking at night, it's highly reflective. And we also offer it in safety orange, in blaze orange, which I put my own dogs in because when they go running out into the field, I'm able to see them from afar. So it's a government-rated blaze orange. So when you put the pack over the back of the dog, you can imagine that there's two belly straps, one that goes right behind their shoulder blades and one that goes in their around their back end. And they're all with the H-clips, so you can adjust them. So once it's adjusted to your own dog, it literally takes 5 seconds to snap it on. The chest strap allows you to bring it back enough. Even if you have a harness, you can bring the chest strap back and allow even harness dogs to wear it with a pack as well. That was a big concern of ours, that many people are like, well, I have a back entry hooking on my leash, so this doesn't interfere with it. we do want to caution people that you don't actually hook your leash to the backpack. You still need a leashing device. But other than this very basic design, and I have to tell you, that's been our biggest compliment, is the fact that so many people are a little bit intimidated by all the bungee cords and the Velcro and all the zippers that get caught in the fur. This is probably one of the simplest, easiest designs, and that has been really the great appeal. The mass appeal is that it is so very easy to use.
And you do have a wide variety of colors, and you mentioned you can embroider on the duty pack. I think that has appeal today because so many people want to specialize their dog's apparel in a way that makes them stand out. You know, because a chocolate lab looks like a chocolate lab if they're walking
right
down the street or at the dog park. So I think this is a way they can have a little bit of bling, can't they?
Well, that's a great way to put it. We actually did put rhinestone studs on one person's pack because they really, really wanted it. But normally we just embroider. We can embroider in actually three different locations on the pack, on the pocket itself, on the outside pocket, or along the top. There's a little bit of space on either side of the handle. But it comes in seven colors. Comes in like a pink sorbet, red, blaze orange, yellow, Kelly green, royal blue, and purple. And so no matter what your favorite town club or, you know, your favorite color, and we found that, you know, even the dogs that, you know, maybe that's not the right color, maybe I'll try this color, we've always been able to find a great color to go with your dog. And it's really amazing the breadth of how many different types of requests we get for monogramming. One gal had a dog, it's called a Camistan. You probably are familiar with that. It's not a very well-known dog, and everyone is a little bit intimidated because it looks a little bit like a wolf. And she wanted to use the pack as education. So she embroidered, "I'm a Camistan" on the pack. We've had rescue groups, like I mentioned, who request for donations when they go to events. We've had over 50 dogs adopted because they were wearing a pack geared towards their rescue group that has the words "adopt me" on it. And so we're really, really proud of that. You know, certainly you can get your own dog's name. We get a lot of requests for corporate sponsoring, corporate names. We're very fast coming into the marketing and promotions industry because it is such a unique item. And now all of a sudden people are seeing the pack as an opportunity to uniform dogs in the office per se. So we can even have, you know, Dog Works Radio put on it, and then your dogs are out and promoting your interests and your town team and whatever it might be. And the sky's the limit. We're not able to put any, you know, registered sports teams on it, but we're starting to look into that as well because there's been a great interest. If you have a professional team that you like, we're thinking of possibly partnering with a group that has licensing there.
Very cool. We're talking to Kristen Elliott, the owner of Duty Pack, and the website is dutypack.com. That's spelled DOODIEPACK.com. And it is a training vest for your dog and allows your dog to carry the elements as well as your supplies when you're taking along him on a walk. So, Kristen, let's talk a little bit about the purpose of a dog carrying weight. I know that's a big deal because many dogs today don't get the exercise that they require. And a backpack is a great way to give them that little bit of extra exercise that so many dogs are needed today. You know, there's a huge problem with canine obesity in America today. Just like with us folks, you know, we feed our dogs too much, and therefore they become couch potatoes and become a little round and pudgy, if you know what I mean. So you mentioned on your website that veterinarians recommend that they can carry up to 25% of their weight. So a 100-pound dog could actually carry 25 pounds, which is a lot of weight.
Right.
And I've mentioned to folks training in training over the years that if you're going backpacking on with your dog, have them carry their own food or water or whatever.
Right.
There's no reason for you to have to hump their supplies, so to speak. So
right.
What have you found in that manner in terms of using it as an exercise tool versus a utilitarian tool?
Well, you know, it was interesting. We were approached by someone who wanted to actually partner with us in building weight plates that actually go in the pocket. And, you know, we were excited about that, but we realized it didn't need to be that formal. Just carrying your everyday essentials, frozen water bottles are a really great option, especially in the summer when it's so very, very hot and you need to carry water anyway. We found that, you know, even though veterinarians say they can carry up to 20%, quite often, I mean, it's kind of shocking to think, wow, they would carry 25 pounds. But, you know, I think the biggest thing is when I'm out on a walk, and I'm going to speak personally, I knew that as soon as my dog originally, before I invented the pack, as soon as they went on and they did their business and I had to carry that bag, I couldn't wait for the walk to be over. I was like, I wanted to head right home because the last thing I want to do is keep going and going and swinging that bag around. We have found more often than not, sometimes it isn't about how much weight's in the pack, but now it's about enjoying the experience of being out. And now you spend more time being out with your dog. And so instead of, oh, I'm just going to go out and come home real quick, I'm going to go out and spend a little bit more time. And I'm not going to be intimidated to put a little bit in there. So if they were out and about and I need a little snack or they need a snack or they need some water, you know, you can put their collapsible water dish in there. You can put some snacks in there. And now all of a sudden it becomes an experience. And it becomes a great, you know, there was a really great article about how you can partner your fitness regimen with your own dog's fitness regimen. And this is a great way to do it. It gets both of you out, and then you're not carrying all that stuff in your pockets. And the dog's feeling great because he's got a purpose.
So let's talk a little bit about the public health aspect of this. What can you share with our listeners about that?
Well, it's interesting because a lot of people think that I do duty pack strictly as my primary profession. And I have to tell you, long before duty pack came into my life, I've been a high school science teacher for the last 18 years, and I continue to work duty pack along with being in the classroom. And ironically, it wasn't until I kind of thought back, wow, that's kind of in keeping with everything I do. I'm an environmental science teacher on top of it. So, you know, we got to the unit on how we need to protect our groundwater supply and started to realize that not only is it polite to pick up your dog's waste because nobody wants to see it in their yard or whatnot, but now we're talking about how can we do right to the planet. And 20% of groundwater contamination comes from pet waste that is not picked up. The parasites, the microorganisms that go into the groundwater supply really does have an effect on us. And, you know, you start thinking about someone's yard where they're thinking, it's not that bad. I'll just let the rain take care of it. Well, your children are out there running around barefoot, you know, and you've got these parasites and so forth that, you know, are in the ground and in the waste, and it's time to start cleaning it up. And, you know, this is a great way to make it a little bit more comfortable to do that. So, you know, again, I wasn't really conscious about the fact that when I designed the duty pack that this would be an environmental product as well, but that's been a real highlight as well. We're doing our part to encourage people to, you know, to pick up waste. And, you know, we had a client, she was really very funny. She had a neighbor who would pick up the waste but would leave the bag at the end of her driveway if the dog went in her yard. And she's like, why would he leave the bag in my driveway? Well, currently, this guy didn't feel like carrying the bag and figured, oh, well, at least I'm picking it up. So she stood at the end of the driveway with one of my product cards and said, okay, now it's time for you to carry it and have your dog take care of that. And he called us. And so we had this kind of funny three-way conversation between the neighbor and this guy, and you know, it really is about doing right. And I think people inherently want to. It's just there's such a discomfort level. And the duty pack really helps with that.
I totally agree. And if we can just educate just a little bit of folks about the necessary realm of this, I think it will help not only the green movement, but also our groundwater and everybody's front yard. Nobody likes to see that in their front yard, especially when it isn't your own dog. So I think it's a great way to promote awareness more than anything else. Don't you agree, Michelle?
Yeah, not only that, Kristen, but you touch on the children and you know, keeping the yard safe and things. But I have a lot of clients that deal with their dog eating excrement, however you say it,
yeah,
out when they're walking their dogs because the person, you know, an hour ahead of them didn't pick up their dog's poop. You know, that is a number one problem for pet health as well, when their dog is eating another dog's feces, and that is a huge problem. Dogs do it, it's a dominance thing, you know, they want to make sure that they're the only dog on the block, and, you know, I'm going to eat that dog's stuff so that nobody knows that that dog was even here. So it's a key thing that the waste is picked up, if not for someone's kids in the neighborhood and not for the water table being contaminated, but just for the health of your own pet. You know, the other thing that I think is so fabulous about your idea is that, yeah, there's a lot of us that are responsible and we pick up our dog's waste along the trail and things. But if there isn't a waste can, a receptacle to place that in, I'm not walking around with it. Chances are I'm going to put it in the bag and leave it on the side of the trail and pick it up on my way back. But, you know, because I've seen a lot of people do that. But your way of doing it prevents people from picking up the poop, I did my duty, and then littering, you know, because now our dog is carrying it for us.
Well, there was a gentleman who shared with us, he has a home on the Jersey Shore, and he said people would pick it up and then drop it down the storm sewer. And then without people realizing, some of those storm sewers are just simply runoff into the ocean, and they went down to the where it comes out, the exiting, and there were literally bags floating out into the ocean. And people are thinking, you know, it's about educating, really. And then I was in that business, and I'm still in that business long before doing the duty pack thing. You know, it's about letting people know, I appreciate the fact that you're picking it up, but you got to take it a step further. And this is a great way to do it. And it's not only good for the environment, it's good for you, it's good for your dog, and your dog knows that they're doing the right thing. They love, you know, when you look at them, you go, oh, good boy, good boy. You know, that is your way of saying, you know what, you're doing your part too, and they know that. I think they know that deep down. So,
well, you know, and as they teach us in scouting, leave no trace. So you pack in what you pack in, you pack out. So if your dog is packing in and he has an issue, you've got to pack it out. You know, and I think that motto, you know, goes back so far, but it actually is the greatest tool we could ever teach our children is to leave no trace, and that includes those ugly blue bags that go along with it. I do have a question for you. On your duty pack, do you have a receptacle for those blue bags that you can just pull out like a Kleenex box?
Yeah, on the inside, because there's pockets on both sides of the pack, the outside pocket is one large pocket, but the inside pocket, I'm assuming that, I say inside and outside because I was taught to walk my dog on my left, but so on the inside pocket, it's a split mesh pocket, and so it's a great place to kind of shove the bags down in. So you can actually put almost 10 bags into that mesh pocket side, and you can pull them out and have many of them on hand. And I know that on the market there's little bag dispensers, and those fit beautifully in there. We promote some particular waste bags that we like quite a bit. So, you know, they all fit in that inside pocket. Even on the small pack, which is, we have three sizes, and the small pack is from 8 to 20 pounds. And there's still plenty of room for all the things that you need. Now, I'm not sure that on a small pack you'd want to load it up with a lot of water bottles, you know, poor little thing. But, you know, there's plenty of room for those bags. And you using those blue bags and recycling those is doing your part as well.
So we're talking to Kristen Elliott, the owner of Duty Pack, dutypack.com. We're talking about her innovative backpack for not only helping your dog exercise, but also having him pack out his waste, so to speak, when he's out on the trail. And people think, wow, that's kind of a nasty thing, but it's not. Dogs don't have any idea. They don't care what they're carrying, but at least they're doing their part. And I think it's a great idea for dogs to be able to work for their exercise just like we do. So, Kristen, we have a few minutes left, and I always like to find out some of the business side when we talk to folks about their products. And you mentioned a little while ago about you just received some patents. And we've had a lot of folks on over the years talking about this product and that, but you're the only one that's come out and said, hey, we've got a patent for our product. And I know it's not necessarily dog-related in regards to this, but can you describe a little bit of that process and what exactly that means to your product and why that's so important?
Well, you know, early on, when we realized we were kind of onto something, the first thing that we did is we did a very, very extensive search to make sure that we were not competing in the marketplace with any other pack company. And a lot of other packs are really geared towards, you know, day hiking. And again, they're very, very complex with all the bungees and so forth. So we put this design together and we tested it out, actually. We spent about 8 to 10 months making sure that, you know, people wanted to buy it. I mean, I don't think we would go through the extent and the expense, too, of patenting it unless we knew that there was a marketability for it. So we found that quite early on there was a great demand for a product like this. And so we actually went in and we spoke with one of the leading patent attorneys I'm in upstate New York, in Rochester, New York, and we just, you know, let them take the lead, and they filed and shared with us that we needed technical drawings and so forth, and we provided them. And we actually have two patents because our small pack has a special U-cut at the neck end of it, because some of the smaller dogs, like pugs and so forth, tend to be harnessed more, and so we needed the U-cutout to accommodate that because their body length is not as broad, say, as a lab or something like that. And so we found that by having it patented, we tell the marketplace and we express our branding in the fact that we are a serious company. We wanted people to have confidence that Duty Pack is a viable, working, essential part of dog ownership. And we felt that patenting it would protect us from competition, and it does. We've also registered our logo and our name. And so what happens is we stand out in the marketplace as not just being some fly-by-night company, but we've field-tested, we've spoken with veterinarians, we work very, very closely with master-certified dog trainers and specialists. And they all gave us input into, you know, design and how the strapping needs to be set so it doesn't pinch or rub. And we came up with this beautiful design, and it is unique to us, and it's protected now, and we're so proud of that.
So let's talk a little bit about the patent process, because, you know, a lot of folks are just like you. They're in their garage or their basement, and they're coming up with the next big thing, and they don't quite understand what it takes. And you did it all right. And we've never spoken about this on this show. And like I said, we have a lot of products that we talk about. Is that process time-consuming and expensive? You know, I think that's a big concern for a lot of folks is they have this great thing, but they don't quite know what the next step is.
Right. Well, I'll speak to that. First of all, I would suggest to anybody, before you patent it, from the time that you sell your first unit and you basically take a stand in the marketplace that you've established that you have a new product, you have 12 months to apply for your patent. So we waited 8 to 10, I think we waited about 10 months because we wanted to sell enough of them to say to ourselves, okay, it's worth the expense of going through this because it is quite costly. And so we applied for the patent within that first 12 months, and you have to engage a lawyer. Now, there are websites where you can, you know, do this online. We opted to go with a large law firm because we know that if someone were to challenge the patent, we have a law firm that could defend it. And so I'm not discouraging people from using the online services that are out there. I think there are two paths that you can take. One is the lesser expensive, but then you have to be ready to defend it in your own right and then have to hire an attorney then. We decided to engage and retain an attorney in a law firm up front. So we went in. It was about, for each of the patents, it ran about $5,000 per patent. But they take care of all the searches and all the filings and so forth. So we're, you know, not to drop expenses, but we're about $10,000 into our patenting process. And from the time that we applied, it took about 2 years to actually get the official brand, sealed document in our hand that we had it.
And that, if I'm not mistaken, that's good for 99 years or something like that?
Actually, you have to renew it about every 14 years, and I'm assuming our attorney will say, hey, you're up for renewal, and obviously I would want to renew it. In terms of 99 years, I'm not honestly familiar with that. I know that patents can be transferred, and I was quite surprised when they said, you know, you really need to put those into a safe. And I'm like, oh, because I was going to, you know, put them in a frame and hang them on the wall. And they're like, no, whoever has possession of the patents is the one who has control of them. It's kind of like a bearer bond. I'm like, really? They're like, yes, you want to make a very nice copy, but you want to put the originals into a safe because apparently it's a pretty big deal to hold the actual piece of paper that has the seal from the government on it. So it's kind of, I learned that new just last week, but that was kind of interesting.
Well, thanks for sharing that. I think that's
sure.
A really good education for folks, like I said, that are out there tinkering around in their garage, whether it be the next greatest dog leash or the cool collars or whatever they're doing these days for the pets. Because, as you know, they have huge expos every year of new and innovative products that are coming out. And we want to make sure that all of them get some recognition because we've tried a lot of them. And you know, some of them are much better than others. But
right.
You know, you got to admire folks that are putting forth all that time and effort to come up with what they think is going to be a great product. And I think you've done that and you're doing very well.
Well,
and you
thank
said
you.
You're,
you know, I encourage everyone to follow their instinct in terms of if they think they've got something, you know, do a little bit of legwork ahead of time. Do some internet searches. Make sure that you're not doing something exactly like somebody else. My suggestion is if you're going to create a website or, find a name, right away, you know, hold on to those domains, you know, the website domains and get yourself established there. And then just, you know, talk and make sure that you're not infringing on anybody. But your idea is as good as anybody else's. And so go for it. I mean, I needed a little prodding, but I never, ever look back and regret because this has been such a fun experience. Really. I just love, quote, coming to duty pack work every day. Really. It's just great.
You know, Kristen, around Christmas time, we had on the president of the As Seen on TV company. You know that I'm sure everybody and their mother has seen those commercials.
Right.
And he told us some of the inside scoop on how they do it. And he said at one time on the show, he said that they come up with a name for their product and secure the domain name before they even design the product. And he was talking about the Shed Pal. It's his new product, you know, where you brush your dog and it keeps the hair contained in the brush. And he was, you know, talking about
right.
that product as it came out. So I have to admire the little guy like you and the big guy like him. You know, he's been doing this for years and, you know, earned billions of dollars by doing so. And you're just doing it pretty much on an as-needed basis, and you've created a niche for yourself. And that's what I was trying to say is you're doing what you love to do, and you have to recognize that, and I admire you for doing so. Michelle, do you have a final question or so for Kristen?
You know, Kristen, I just want to mention out there that teachers rock. Not only are you an awesome teacher, but you are inspiring your kids to get out there and realize that in today's world, you might have the career as a teacher, but you've got to kind of have that side job too. But how empowering you are and must be to your students who see you succeeding in business in a realm of your own career that you didn't even realize at first how much you were helping impact the environment. I had no idea.
And my own children, I mean, my own children are watching, you know, how business takes place, and they're writing ads with me, and they go to, you know, they're learning how to deal with clients, and I'm so immensely proud. And I've actually taken on several of my students as from the business program in our school. They come in and they do internships with me. And so I'm doing everything I can. I've pushed into the business department and talked about social media and how you can build a business and branding that way. So I'm really trying to engage everybody that I can, and young people, in becoming excited about a vision that they might have.
Absolutely, and that was my point. My daughter is taking a business class this year in her freshman year, and her business teacher has mentioned quite a few things that she's ahead of the curve. Well, that's because her parents are both in business. But I think that's a key factor right there that, you know, just because you take the, I'm going to take business in high school, you know, that should be an easy A. No, actually, you should be thinking about it the way that we all did. We didn't have those classes at my school, so I'm really excited that my daughter gets the opportunity to have a class outside of college, because it's going to give her an opportunity to tackle a few things without it being so structured, and that's the beauty of being in high school. So, you know, I say kudos to teachers, especially the ones that get out there and patent their product. Good for you.
Well, I'm just so flattered, and, you know, I just can't believe it sometimes to love what I do. I mean, I tell my students over and over again, find something that you love, and oh my gosh, get paid for it. That's really the thrill. I mean, nobody should be unhappy. Go out and find your vision and your dream and go for it. I mean, a lot of people are intimidated. They're like, oh, I have an idea. Like, well, stop talking about it. Do something. Because what's the worst that can happen, really? And if you're very smart and you design your company so you don't have huge loss and you're not putting your, you know, huge risks in front of you, there is no risk because you've learned something along the way, and how great is that?
There you go. Kristen Elliott, Duty Pack, dutypack.com. I bet you never thought that we would turn this into a Business 101 seminar here on DogWorks Radio.
I mean, if I can help in any way, I mean, I've had so many people help me along the way and mentor me and take time and explain, because I'm not experienced in some areas, and I would tell them that, and they'd be so patient and wonderful in explaining it. And now it's kind of like pay it forward, and I'm happy to do it anytime. I think it's innate in the fact that I'm a teacher anyway. I just love sharing what I know and helping others along the way.
Well, thank you very much for being on. We have about a minute left, and I want to make sure everybody can find you out there. Are you guys on Facebook? I know you're on Twitter. You and I talk quite often on there. Do you have a Facebook page?
I do. In fact, we have two. There's one, Duty Pack, and then there's another one. Duty Pack is our fan page, and then there's Duty Pack Kristen Elliott, which is our friend page, where it's much more interactive. And anytime I tweet, it's me. Anytime I post on Facebook, it's me. And so if you're interested or have any questions for me, you know, you can call me on the number on our website or post on Facebook, and I'll be the one getting back to you. But yes, we actually have several Facebook pages, and we're so excited that people send pictures and comments. You know, it's a thrill to interact with everybody.
Very cool. We'll definitely stay in contact, and I'll send any questions or comments on to us, over to you as well, that we get throughout these shows. Kristen, it's been a pleasure. We'll talk again soon, okay?
Thank you so much. My pleasure. Have a great day. It's such a thrill to be on the show with you. Thanks again.
Thank you. That was Kristen Elliott. DutyPack.com is the website, DoodiePack.com. Check it out. Very innovative product. Michelle, 15 seconds. Close us out.
It's Rondi time.
There you go. So we're looking forward to talking about the Iditarod next week. And for the next couple of weeks, that's what we're going to focus on. Until then, never forget your dreams. We'll see you next time. Goodbye.